Project Independence is the aging in place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today, which you listen to throughout the whole commercial break, is Otto Loos. And we're here with Marcus O'Toole, who is an elder law attorney with Gens Kona, excuse me. And we're talking about some of the issues that need to be taken care of in attempting to plan for a quasi-peaceful transition of your assets. So at the time of death, and I look at it from that perspective, a person can deal with their grief and not worry about who's paying what and who's getting the money. And, you know, a poor widow who's lost a husband after 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever the number of years is, the last thing she needs to be dealing with is where is the check coming from and who has what. Deal with your husband's death first, or vice versa, or a child. The question I had asked Marcus just before the break, and then we're going to go to Otto's question, is in community planning, and the look back is 2.5 years, does the look back include gifts? Like if somebody gives the $10,000, make it $10,000 a year to their kids and their grandkids for different odds and ends, helping out with college, is that part of the look back?
Yeah.
Or is it just one big chunk of, oh yeah, that is, okay.
So anything you transfer out, you know, a couple hundred dollars or, you know, a few hundred dollars aren't going to really matter. But if you're making significant gifts, okay, I'm giving you $10,000. It's counted against you until the look back period has passed. So each time you transfer money out of your name, there's a look back period that's associated with that transfer. Now, you know, that's why it's important for seniors when they're thinking about, you know, giving away or making substantial financial help to their children or grandchildren, that they run it by their elder law attorney to make sure that it's not going to trip up any plans that they have in place, and to really have things properly arranged so that, look, if, because the problem is, say, okay, I'm giving my son $50,000, he's going to, you know, build an extension on his house. Well, if I needed a nursing home in 3 years, I might need the money back, because it hasn't, for a nursing home, it's a 5-year look back period.
Right.
So you don't want to, and then maybe he doesn't have it anymore. And then you are ineligible for a period, and it's a little messy. So always check with your elder law attorney before you make significant transfers.
Okay. And actually that's a perfect segue going back to what Otto was just talking about at the break, which I do want to address a little bit, because at the end of the day, you know, and Peter is the one that brings this up all the time. You know, if you had a lump on your, from a woman's perspective, she had a lump on her breast, she's not going to ask her friend what to do about it. She's going to go to the doctor and pray that she doesn't have cancer. Unfortunately, when it comes to sometimes legal planning and financial planning, they'll listen to a friend or a neighbor, or they'll watch something on TV and make that decision to have it thrown in their face when the time comes. Like your perfect example you made. Now all of a sudden I need $50,000. My son put it into his house. So does he have to go and get a mortgage because he doesn't have the money to give back to me? Or what are the penalties and what do we have to do? So it does behoove people to make sure they do it legitimately. And it's going to cost a little bit more money, but we've all seen the situation where all of a sudden we thought we did it right. And that's everybody. But Otto, you had a conversation at the break, which I think is significant, with a document. Okay, that was 20 years ago, but the importance of trying to plan something, but also planning it right.
Well, I think the whole topic of trust is one that baffles a lot of people in the senior category, right?
Okay.
I think they can go from, like I showed you an example of what I thought was a legal document 30 years ago. And the guy who did it for me, it was an attorney, and it's one piece of paper that basically says, my mother and I, she's transferring the ownership of my mother's, of the house to me, and that these three things, she can live there, she has control over the premises, and I don't have the right to sell it without her approval. And basically, that's what this thing says. That's a very simple start to what I, that would be a trust as far as I say. But, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what the legal rules are. But I think trusts are a topic to talk about.
I want Marcus to respond to that. But before he does, Marcus also has to know, and the listening, and we're on TV also, listening and viewing audiences, that Otto was, he still is technically, even though his mom's no longer here, a loving and devoted son. So therefore, it could have been written on a piece of toilet paper because you wouldn't have done anything wrong to your mother. So that's the fine line. When it comes to the point where there's somebody else involved and wants to screw their parent, that's the issue from a parent's perspective. You didn't even need a note with your mother, in my opinion, to be honest with you. You were going to take care of her for the rest of her life anyway. But well, anyway.
She lived with us for 11 years, actually, yeah, after the house. So that's true.
You know.
Yeah, it's trusts are really an important part of seniors planning these days. So, you know, Otto, back in 1990, the rules for Medicaid and things were a little bit more forgiving. Over time, the rules have become stricter. And like many other government programs, the rule book keeps getting bigger and longer and longer and longer. So planning around Medicaid and things like that has become more complicated. So whereas, you know, 30 years ago, a simple life estate deed, you know, might work fine. What these days is we use irrevocable trust to, you know, accomplish that, you know, that asset protection goal so that if you got sick and needed care, you know, you wouldn't lose your home or have a lien, but with maximizing flexibility. And the job of an attorney like me is to explain to the senior, you know, what this trust does, how it works, what their powers over it are, and how their children would be involved. And I would say, for the most part, they don't, on a day-to-day basis, you put your house in one of these irrevocable trusts, you don't notice anything different. You know, you're still paying your taxes, your insurance, you know, nobody's evicting you. You know, it's still your house for just about any other purpose. So it's important, you know, to talk to seniors about that comfort level, you know, that a trust seems complicated, but, you know, that's just because taxes and Medicaid law are complicated, and it's my job to kind of translate and make sure that they're comfortable with it.
Well, looking at it from my perspective, I believe my trust needs would be pretty simple. And I'll give you an example because I think it applies to a lot of people. My understanding is that IRA, stock account or whatever, as long as you have beneficiaries established, they don't fall into the trust category. So like in my case, the house is the only thing I have, although I have a bank account, which came up in a past show that for some reason, I'll use the name Citibank, I can't seem to put a beneficiary against the accounts. Why, I don't know, I'm working on that actually. But the point I'm getting at is that the only thing I really have that should go into a trust or even think about going into a trust as a house, falls into place for a lot of people?
Yeah, most of my clients, the house is the primary thing we're putting into a trust. You know, when we're talking about, you know, if you're doing a trust for asset protection, for Medicaid planning, your IRAs and 401ks are exempt. So you don't need to worry about those. But for the trust, you're generally putting in the house, and then your other accounts you can name beneficiaries on, and they don't have to go through the trust.
Right.
Marcus, what about an annuity? Is an annuity, does it avoid it because it's really not a sellable thing, but it can be sold, obviously. It's not as liquid as a stock.
So it depends on the kind of annuity. So there are qualified annuities and non-qualified annuities. Right. So for Medicaid purposes, a qualified annuity is like a retirement account, right? You have RMDs, you take money out, you pay taxes. Those are exempt for Medicaid purposes. You don't put those in a trust. But non-qualified annuities, right? I just took $100,000, I bought an annuity. Those are not exempt, and sometimes we put those in trusts. But okay, you can name beneficiaries on all of that.
Right. I know there's beneficiaries on it. But see, and all that stuff is so important to have the conversation. And Otto, you know, Otto is the co-host is tremendous because Otto does his homework and brings the questions which are the most important for a senior. And it's very true because too often, you know, and I'm talking, I think also from Marcus's perspective, you know, it's trying to close the barn door after the cow's out and it's late. And yeah, Marcus can do something for you to help you out. There's no question about it. And it always behooves you to give him a call. And actually, I'm going to give out his number again, which is 631-390-5000. Because it's worth it to ask the question. But the one thing that did strike me before is Medicaid and Medicare and all the government obligations or whatever you want to call them, 30 or 40 years ago, they were really quite simple and there was plenty of money floating around. Now it's a whole different world. Even Social Security, nobody questioned things from 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Now Social Security is an issue. Will it be here 20 years, 30 years? I mean, all these things have people very concerned. So it behooves everybody when you're talking about your own personal finances, do it in such a way that you protected your family. And that's where you need someone like Marcus, because if somebody comes after you, you know, you'd rather have the strength of a elder law attorney who did it according to the law versus me. And I have my opinions on all these different things, but I'm not an attorney, you know, and Marcus will turn around and say, it's a great idea, but guess what? It's illegal. So,
well, you always have to be concerned that, you know, the laws change over time, right? Like I just said, we were just talking about a new look back period for home care Medicaid, and everybody was rushing in, the end of September to try to get their transfers in before the deadline. So I think that, you know, it's better to plan, you know, when you're ready, you know, as far in advance as you can, because, you know, you can often get locked into the better rules, because when they change the rules, it's usually not to your benefit. They make it harder to get the benefits as healthcare costs keep going up, and, you know, the costs from the pandemic are going to come due at some point. That there might be more changes down the future, who knows? So I would kind of get yourself planned for now with the best rules we have in place.
You know,
you go, Otto, you always go.
No, one of the things, like when you say planned for, one of the difficulties is that you can't just like say, okay, I'm planning, I'm gonna go to Bermuda or whatever. Am I gonna be immobile? Do I have to go to a nursing home? Will I be able to stay at home? Nobody knows what kind of circumstances their long-term life is going to be like. Nobody really knows. So I think in the back of everybody's mind, including my own, there's this thing, well, maybe I won't need that. Maybe I'll just go to sleep and that'll be the end of it. And everybody will take care of all my stuff and it won't be an issue. So I think the normal human thing is, I don't know what's going to happen. So it makes it harder to plan for it when you don't really know. You're just kind of gambling. You don't know.
What we're going to do, I think that's a tremendous thought to continue on. But right now we're taking another break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Marcus O'Toole.